So tell me, we've been covering a lot of stuff. Let's start with your agenda first. What are you most interested in trying to cover today?
Go ahead, Lonnie.
Yeah, I guess, I'll kick it off. I think things are going well. Brant won't be able to make it. He had his baby girl, so.
Oh, congratulations. Convey my congratulations to him.
We will. So that's awesome and very positive. And, we did have someone leave on our team, and she took a position more with with JP Morgan, and it was more to be like a client assistant, and work with a really wealthy, kind of like a supernova. You only have 80 clients of, 5 to 10 million of assets or more. And we were just curious, because when we spoke to her, she was like, I wouldn't wake up till 9:30. Now I'm going to have to wake up at 8 and actually work a full day. And I was just telling Mario, were we too lenient with her? And she's moving to make, 60,000, where, should we have been more micromanaging, and just curious what your thoughts are as far as newer advisors in the business.
Okay. First of all, when somebody that you enjoy that's working with you leaves, a piece of you walks out that door with them. And you go through this process of what could I have done? What should I have done? Could I have made this person, feel more comfortable? Should I have taken the time to really get inside their heads or whatever. So here's what I will say. You have to supernova every employee. Okay. They get a touch and they'll get used to communicating with you. Okay. They will share more with you. You'll find more about their goals, their ambition, and you'll try to accommodate that growth. Some people are going to be career client associates. Some want to move into sales. Some want to, I got my college degree in HR, and that's where I see myself. And so they come in, they get some branch experience, and then you make the referral. So two things. You have to continuously be recruiting your own people. That's number one. Number two, you got to supernova all your employees. That's your sales folks, everybody, operations, got to get inside their heads, take notes. What are the next steps? This is what, and give them reviews.
So today at 1 o'clock, we have our kind of call with our team to educate them about Supernova. Okay. And to let them know, we have people participating that are coming in, calling our existing book, doing everything that Supernova is looking for, right? And then there's right. other people who try and they just, give them a lead list and it disappears, right? Or whatever.
Right.
Whatever. So we're kind of having that call today to say, hey, we need everybody on board with Supernova. You need to make your decision kind of yes or no.
Right.
I know Supernova needs to be conveyed 2 or 3 times.
That's right.
But what do we do with those people that aren't on board? Do we just let them be?
Okay. Well, when people aren't on board and you're going to find it, look, sometimes I'm coaching a team and there'll be 5 people and there might be 1 senior guy who's just not on board, doesn't want to change, think he knows it all. And, doesn't want to change behavior. Some people you gotta spoon feed. Okay. So, you know, you're going to have to take that group and spoon feed. When they start to see the results improve with the other members of your team, then they start to look up, how come you're not spending time with me? I mean, that happened to me time and time again when I went into offices, and there's always a few people that don't want to buy in. So I say, okay, be on the sidelines if you want. I'm saying that to myself. And I start working with the people that I can work with. You know, and that's generally what's going to happen is they're going to observe and see something working for some folks. And then they may come up to you and say, and I've had people come up to me and say, hey, look, you're not spending any time with me. And I want to know why, you know, and I says, well, you know what? You're right. How can we change that and come together and give you the attention that you need? So, you know, don't threaten them. Don't shut them down. Work with the people that you can.
Okay.
And always be recruiting. So, look, if it got to a point where somebody was disruptive, I'd bring them in and I'd say, look, I like you a lot. This isn't working for us. You know, you don't want to pay attention to the value that we're trying to add. I suggest that you go find an environment that you can be a little more comfortable in. And that's called counseling people out of the business. Okay. If it gets to that. But right now, you know, you've got to constantly be recruiting out in your marketplace. You got to be re-recruiting your own people. In the larger firms, it's like war out there. Okay. If you ever read Advisor Hub, one of the things that you'll discover is that, you know, $3, $4, $2, $5 million teams are crisscrossing. You know, teams are leaving Merrill, going to Rockefeller Capital. Teams are, you know, leaving JP Morgan Chase, going to UBS, teams leaving UBS and going to Morgan Stanley. I mean, it is like so cutthroat out there. It's ridiculous.
In your, what draws a team to leave? Because the compensation is pretty similar across the industry.
To a certain point, what happens is, sometimes these firms are paying upwards of 300% of a team's trailing 12. So if you're doing 2 million, they're going to give you 6 million to leave.
Gotcha.
Maybe 50% of it's in cash and the others in stock, restricted units, stock options, that sort of thing. And so sometimes they're frustrated with the management. Sometimes the firm comes down with too many changes to their grid levels, changes to their compensation, new compliance protocols designed to protect them. And if it's not explained appropriately, then you know, people take exception, they harbor discontent, and they say, well, look, let's take the whole shooting match and we're going to go take our marbles and go somewhere else and play.
Gotcha.
And that's what happens.
That's where we're just not as competitive as the wirehouses.
Right. And the other thing, you know, I used to recruit from competitors in my market and had the dominant market share. And so people physically saw people coming in from competitors and they say, well, we must be the best game in town. And rarely did anybody ever leave that I didn't want to leave. And I had a SWAT team that would descend on that book of business and talk to those clients from Friday night, because I knew that the competitor was going to drop letters, Federal Express envelopes to the biggest clients. And as soon as they resigned on a 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and I hated that, you know, because, you know, Friday, I wanted to maybe go play some golf. I wanted to go enjoy the family. And somebody walks in, you got a minute? Oh, God. Friday afternoon, it's 4 o'clock. Come on, Joe, have a seat. What's going on? Well, here's my letter. And they're instructed by the other firm not to say anything other than it's been nice, it's been real, it's been fun, goodbye. So to make a long story short, and I've told you a lot, you've got to be getting into your people's heads. You've got to be looking at their faces. You've got to see whatever stress that they might be dealing with. And you need to understand what everybody's goals and ambitions are and do your best to help them. And after doing all of that, you're still going to have people leave.
Gotcha.
You know, and I will tell you, this is one of the things that I convinced my teams to do, is supplementally comp my client associates. So they got the salary that I was paying them, they got bonused, and then they got a little bit extra from the team that they were working with, which, you know, boost some of them, boost their compensation $60,000 to $70,000. I never had a CA leave because she was going to make more money, unless she was an underperforming CA. Okay? Because it's too hard training people, you know? It's like, think about the amount of time it takes to get somebody green and get them up to speed where they're really functional. Probably they're doing some things in 6 months, probably takes them a real year to get pretty decent. A couple of years, they're really running on all cylinders. Okay? Hope that wasn't too long of an explanation to your question.
No, it's perfect. We got the numbers from last year and, you know, we were slightly short on our recruiting, or we would have been number 10 in the country.
Wow.
So, you know, we missed out on some dollars.
Oh boy.
We just didn't hit the threshold. We needed, you know, it was a miscommunication in how things work. We helped people get promoted and we thought their numbers were towards us. And then in November, we found out it didn't. A little bit of a surprise, but we want to make sure that, you know, this year we're number one. So
yeah. So, and the way to do that is to have your scoreboard and have your weekly scoreboard meeting.
Yep.
And, that we discussed in Supernova, and that helps you with that.
Yeah. We posted that all over the office now. So the scoreboard, it's updated, you know, twice a week.
You guys are paying attention, man. That's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. What's the reaction?
We put individual goals up too for their AUM, like annuity and that. And then everybody's like, can I have one? Can I have one? So it's been, you know,
it's
been super positive.
That's fantastic. You're getting your people on fire.
So we're trying.
So, Lenny, how's that sit with you in terms of the explanation and everything?
That sits very well. We were also thinking too, you know, as we supernova everyone, you know, maybe on, like, I really feel if we can control their Monday, it's going to set the tone for the rest of the week.
Uh-huh.
Maybe having like a quick checklist that they do every Monday and right. make sure that, you know, that, hey, you've completed these X amount of things that can set your week up properly.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, look, I think that, everybody should know what you're doing is you're drilling down. Remember, I always use the words inspect what you expect. And, part of that is give everybody their marching orders. People want to be led. They want to be left alone, but they also want to be led. So, you know, for some of your people, let them know the expectations. Leave them alone. Let them do it. For others, tell them the expectations. Show them how to show them how to achieve those expectations. And then come back and inspect what you expected. So there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Okay. But just understand that everybody's different. You know, you got those that, you know, are going to run with the football. And you got those that are going to try and they're going to drop it on occasion. And you got to pick them up. You don't push people. You pull them. Okay. Remember that. You're pulling them towards something. And you gotta make things tangible for them. You know, what's their expectations? You know, is it more money? Money in and of itself isn't a sufficient motivator. It's what money can do. You know, is there a quality of life that they're looking for? Translate that. Is it the condo that Joe wants to buy? Is it the family that Mary wants to have? You know, what is it? It's not always material. Sometimes it's altruistic. And it's up to you to find out what that is when you're sitting down with your people. Okay? And now you're probably sitting there, you're thinking, well, geez, nobody from up top is talking to me about those things. You know, they're not calling me up and asking me what my expectations, but these are the things that are going to make you a better leader. You know, servant leadership. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay. What else is on your minds? Mike, you're a little quiet over there. How you doing? Get yourself
on. I'm doing, so you know, I had to unmute myself. No, I was just listening to them. I mean, they got a lot of good stuff there. I'm just kind of sitting back and was listening. So no, everything for me is good. I'm just, as the two know, those two know, I'm in a holding pattern until, I figure out what I'm going to do in a couple of weeks. My wife is, the decision maker on this one. We're from Boston and I have the opportunity, if I wanted to go help run the organization in Boston again.
Okay.
And, so I was trying to get this done by the new year to figure out what I was going to do. It's kind of for health issues on my wife. It's kind of strolled into the end of January. So, we're trying to figure out, what we want to do. So,
okay.
Again, for me, I'm trying to get the supernova for more of my book of business.
Right.
And some of the most experienced people on our team. So most of my team now is experienced producers that have been here more than 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
You know, as that's it. Any of the new advisors that come in, you know, they're either going to end up on Lenny or Mario's team or Brant's team, not mine.
Right.
In that there's just not enough time in the day to do, you know, to try to train new advisors continuously.
Right.
For me.
Right.
So for my purpose, I'm trying to build it to figure it. And again, depending on whether I'm here in Boston, the supernova for me may look a little differently.
Right. I get it.
And how I'm going to hand out the clients.
Right.
So, those are the things, but for a lot of the stuff that you've been sharing and stuff has been really helpful, regardless of location. from a leadership perspective, that's where I pick up a lot of stuff from, always learning as best as I can.
Yeah. Okay. Good enough. Okay. Well, I'm glad that we do have these discussions about leadership because, you know, that's vital when you're running something. And, you know, I appreciate the questions that you all ask. So, you know, keep those, coming. Let's see. I think that, we've been zipping through a lot of things. How are we feeling about client acquisition at this point, gentlemen? Mario, Lenny, you go first.
Mike, mute yourself.
Oh yeah, Mike, mute yourself. There you go. I think client acquisition is going well for me. I think both Mario and myself are at the point where we're not trying to accumulate a lot of clients.
Right.
That concierge service, you know, the supernova that we want.
Right.
So, you know, I am getting some referrals. I'm not getting as much as I should as far as from centers of influence and others.
Takes a while.
Yeah. But I would say things are positive, you know, but yeah, there's no struggle, at least for me, with client acquisition so far. I'm happy where I'm at with that.
Okay.
Good. I've been digging through my book and, you know, there's been a lot of missed opportunities that I've uncovered. So, you know, that's why I'm up to 50 supernova clients now. I know last week I was at 45.
Wow.
So January is going to be the best January I've ever had. So,
How's
Barcelona household is happy as can be.
Uh-oh. Okay, you just, congratulations are in order?
I mean, yeah, it was just a big month for me. My wife is an advisor too. She had a big month too, so.
Okay.
A good month.
Good.
I'll buy a lot of diapers. So.
All right. Good. All right. Any issues with the process, getting your agendas out and on time, following up with, you know, having a monthly topic, following up with an executive summary, you know, what to do on each of the appointments? Are we all pretty well understanding that process?
Right, because they started this in January, technically, with all these people.
Sure.
So I think meeting one has gone really well. You know, I think missed some of the executive summaries and things like that, obviously, in the beginning. But I think going forward, it's as now we have more pieces of the pie put together, I think it'll help out a lot.
Okay. All right. Because that's your brand. You're establishing right now the value of your brand. All right. Let's go into, did you see did I send you something on mastermind groups? Okay.
I think you sent it to me and I forwarded it to everyone.
Oh, okay. So the whole idea with the mastermind group is to find some like-minded people in different areas where they can refer people to you. And you, of course, are building your golden Rolodex of people that you can enthusiastically endorse and hand over to that group that you are in. And again, to the extent that you can, look, I'm coaching an individual right now and he just hook, line and sinker because he's didn't have a lot of bias. So I said, well, look, from now on, let everybody know that, you know, you're not just accepting a business card and a phone number, that it's got to be a personal introduction. This guy is doing that. And is killing it. Every personal introduction is turning into business for him. So don't underestimate the power of the personal introduction via Zoom. And he's doing it on Zoom, where the person making the personal introduction makes the handoff and then they take off. So don't underestimate that when you're working with COIs, when you're working with your mastermind group, and again, making sure that everybody understands the targets or the target client that you're looking to work with, okay? All right. The other thing I wanted to talk about is this aspect of the leadership component, which is looking at the game board and identifying the things that you want to measure. And so if you turn to page 95 in your guidebook, there's the game board is basically the tool that's used for the weekly meetings. Helps you keep track of a team member's activity. And so, you know, your business is different, but look at the number of things that can be measured. I don't want you to, and I think you should put this on an Excel spreadsheet and kind of digitize it. But you don't want to measure everything to the point where all you're doing is measuring. You know, you're spending 8 hours a week just on measurement. But try to assign that to somebody, or have a number of people gather the data and give it to you. But you're going to measure the referral model, the 90-day trial, COIs, the mastermind group. If you're doing financial plans, which is the cornerstone of your 12-4-2 process, then how many plans are getting done? How many are being reviewed? How many are being implemented? That's going to keep you on track to where you outperform. And if you guys keep getting the outperformance like you're going to get, you know, I got to believe that your firm is going to say, God, well, what's going on with these guys? What, why are they so special? What are they doing? And so, you know, you're going to be looked at. You know, you're going to review niche markets, you know, update on LinkedIn. Now I have, we have a guy that we are working with on social media. I don't know if you're ready for that just yet, but, if you, want his name and his contact information, you know, he kind of partners with us, but it helps folks develop their social media presence so that they get client relationships from the social media, like LinkedIn. And he's kind of an expert in that. So let me know when you think you might be ready for that conversation. Okay. So you can have the conversation, no cost, then decide whether or not you want to use them. And then, you know, he charges something for it.
Yeah, we'll take his info because we need to drive more revenue to the branch. You know, we need that value prop to hire more people.
Okay. So I'll make a note then that I will send the contact information for a guy by the name of Bruce Johnson.
Do you know who Richard Wildman is?
Yeah.
Our branch is utilizing him now.
Oh, you are? Okay. He knows us.
I don't know, you know, we're still figuring out what he's doing, but they Higher ups brought him on. So
yeah, okay. So he knows who we are.
That's true.
Okay. Let's see. So what you do as a financial advisor, you get your goals for the game board, and you got your people going across, and you put down their goals and what they've actually done. Now that's your inspecting what you expect. Your client service associate has some goals. She is in charge of the practice in terms of appointments and scheduling, sending out agendas, updating your folders, making sure that the client meetings are established. Okay. So you are, elevating her. And it's just like, going into a doctor's office. When you walk out, that doctor's not setting up your appointment for you. You know, they don't even handle it. They have a whole staff that does that. Okay. And clients are used to that. So make sure that you've got your client associate trained, that they manage all of the appointments. Okay. That they manage the executive summaries. And if something falls through the cracks, tell them, look, I want you to handle it. I don't want anything to fall through the cracks. I want the appointments made. I want the agendas to go out. I want the executive summaries to go out after each call. And I want those items put into the client folder. Okay. And, your target might be 4 appointments a day. Okay.
Curtis.
Yeah.
For that role, none of us have that person yet, but we see the value in it and we understand the why. Right. I think the hard part with us is how to bring that person on and how to compensate them, because it's either A, it's not going to come from the branch. We know that.
Okay.
It's either A, we would pay out of our pocket, and or B, maybe they're licensed and we would give them a percentage of the case. The hard part we find is if they're licensed, we can't pay them on the side until, the commissions add up. So we kind of are never able to find a good fit for somebody in that role.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Did you have did Cindy Bowie take you all through the scheduling tool yet?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So, what you need to do, I'm reluctant to have her take you through it, because that's kind of the cornerstone of how you manage a lot of the process. Okay. And, it's not something that I want you all to do. I want you to understand it, but I want your, client associate to really embrace it and then be able to get it formulated. It's connected to Outlook, and then have somebody, and she develops a backup to be able to do that. So back to your question. So you need to get that scheduled with Cindy an appropriate time, and you need the appropriate person to be able to do that. So now it's like, trying to get you're dealing with replacing a staff person right now, and you're trying to get another staff person to train them. I get a little concerned about, where the cash flow is going in terms of managing your branch for profitability, because you're adding to fixed and semi-fixed costs. Okay.
Yeah, the challenge for us is our branch is run out of Miami, basically, and we're just an office in Boca, right?
Okay.
So they profit and loss doesn't affect us. There's two staff members and that's it. We don't get any additional dollars for anything.
Wow. Okay.
So the profit and loss is basically our pocket, our income, and how we allocate our own income to grow our business.
Do you want to get, how do you feel? Look, it's nice to have a permanent person just do that. I'm almost reluctant to suggest that you, get a couple of interns from the University of Miami or one of the local schools, Florida Atlantic or something like that. You get one coming in the morning and you get one coming in the afternoon so that they function as one person and they both do what you're asking them to do.
I mean, right now we somebody we pay and she works for us Monday, Wednesday, Friday, just for a couple hours. She's
okay.
She's sorting the Supernova leads. She's making the weekly shout out newsletter. She's doing all that. So
okay.
I mean, we could utilize her more for now. I don't know. She's the only one we're paying out of our pocket right now.
Okay. Well, I would say you need this one client associate that's doing all this stuff for you. You know, and so, you know, what's the cost of talent out there in your market? Probably a lot less than it is in San Francisco, but I gotta think that what's talent out there running? Is it running 25 grand? 30? I don't know. You tell me, what's the cost of a client associate?
Probably 40.
Probably 40. Yeah, comp and benefits, 40 grand, and add 25% to that. That employee is costing you pretty close to $65,000 in terms of comp and benefits.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's, in the realm of possibilities right now. We got to think about that and think about how do we get around it if this person then is maybe paid 20 and incentive comp is 20, then you get to 40. You know, where, you know, she's tied to the performance of the organization.
Mike.
Or I said it's she, but it could be he.
Mike, you know this answer. If we hire somebody as an A class, can we 1099 them and pay them on the side, or is that a conflict?
I don't think so. I don't envision us being able to pay a licensed advisor on a 1099. We'd have to find out from compliance, but I just don't see the firm allowing it. But it's not a bad idea. I mean, the only thing we could do, Mar, is we'd have to come up with a way, and we all have production, you know, on an annual basis, enough of it. They could just participate in enough cases to make up that difference.
So they come in with a salary and then they get what we call incentive comp, you know, to balance out their total income.
Right. Because Mario, they'll be getting a base from the company, right?
Right.
Come on, so, with the $2,000 a month as a base.
So they'd probably be, this person would be more traditional, so they'd have to go 100% commission. So let's say, right, Curtis, that we, between me and Lenny, we have $100,000 in trail income that we could throw them off for 20%, right? So that gives them 20 grand.
Right.
And then, hey, can we pay them, you know, $1,500 bucks a month cash? And 1099 them for the difference, Mike.
Well, that wouldn't be a 1099 typically. The way we used to do it is they just got, we notified the company, to make a special payment, which we called incentive comp. and that's what they got paid.
The problem, yeah, problem is we're just not in control of anything that has to do with compensation.
Yeah, I mean, Mario, the only way between it is you guys are generating a minimum of, you know, 15,000, 20,000, you know, 10,000 to 15,000 a month in personal production, right? New business, or maybe call it 8 grand or whatever it is. That would be the only way to get around that is to put them on each case you're writing enough to generate that additional stipend you're going to pay them monthly.
Yeah.
Then you what get, about, but then, oh, Curtis, sorry, Mario, yeah. You're going to get, if it's on proprietary business, you're getting overrides on that business that you're giving. So you're not even giving away that $1,500 away, you know, you're getting $500 of it back.
Yeah.
Through the override.
The problem when we try, and maybe Curtis, you could chime in on this, is if we tell people, hey, we're going to put you on our cases, and then it, to them it sounds like a leap of faith, right? We tried this with this girl that was a rock star at a Mass Mutual, and she just was like, hey, like, I believe you, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but you gotta find this unusual person who, you know, wants to step out and take a little bit of risk. And that's the profile of the person that's going to do this.
Mario.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you compare someone, not necessarily like a Dominic Mancini, but someone like that or someone like Tristan that's now doing it? Don't they fit that mold of what would work from the scenario we're talking about?
Yeah, most likely the only person that would trust enough to do it would be Tyler, you know, my brother-in-law.
There's a lot of people unemployed right now, folks. A lot of people. You know, getting an opportunity to make, you know, $40,000 or $50,000, you know, and have a base, is a lot of comfort to a lot of people right now. So think about that.
That's the hard part. That's the struggle that we've had is, you know, we don't have any decision making of how Equitable does anything, right? We just kind of work here, you know? So it's anything that we do comes out of our own pocket as like a 1099 to somebody, or we're giving up production. There's no, incentive comp, anything that we can offer. That's the hard part for us.
Right. I don't have an answer in mind. I'll have to give it more thought, but, you're going to need that person. And this is the way I would think about it. If you had that person for every dollar you give them, can you get three back? If you can't get three back, then it's a waste.
Okay.
So you should be able to get three back is my thinking. You get three back because of efficiency, organization, and you get to spend more face time with clients, driving your business, driving your revenue.
But because of the override, we already get one back. So
okay.
It just saves us two more.
Uh-huh.
Right, Mike, basically?
Well, no. If you spend one, you're only getting 30 bucks back, really. You know, 30 cents on the dollar you're getting back from an override. But then what he's saying is the efficiency of what allows you to go get additional business in the time.
Sure.
Does that make up the other $270 for a better, you know, to break even?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if it's someone like, you know, like for example, Dominic's doing that for you, right? He's generating, you know, saving you a lot of time that it's allowing you to go do these other things or for you guys or for all of us. If we could have more time to bring additional people in that we could train as advisors, maybe that is $3.
The problem is, Curtis, like we have somebody right now, we give them basically, Lenny and I give them 20% of all of our cases, right?
Okay.
But now he's hit a threshold where he's going to make 130, 140 this year that he's just working on the business.
Yeah, I know. So are we at a point where you got to kind of cut the spigot on him and develop another one?
Exactly.
Yep.
Because he's now our investment specialist. You know, he's building the portfolios. He's doing it. So you know, for him to sit there and do a life insurance app or an annuity app doesn't make sense for him anymore.
Yeah. Okay. So now maybe you kind of begin to transition another person into that role.
Okay.
Yeah. You tell him he's not getting a pay cut, but you need somebody that can deliver on these X, Y, Z things. Yeah. And so, and if you do that, then it's going to allow you all to spend more face time with clients and deliver more business to him. So it's a win-win. All right. I think that's about as much as I wanted to cover, for today, is just the whole idea of scoreboard, looking at planning, plan implementation, marketing, leadership. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, do you all have in the organization some really, really sharp people that when you're doing a topic a month, you know, you can bring them in and a special invitation, which would be a Zoom call for your very best clients? You know, so, you know, you're inviting in, maybe it's somebody, like I used to bring in a guy, Harry Dent, and he represented, I forget the name of the mutual fund, but this guy was a sharp economist, and he gave them an outlook of what they could expect, you know, for the quarter, for the year, and clients liked it. These calls were started with you introducing your team, your concierge practice, and then you introduce your guest speaker, he speaks, Q&A, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, we have a producer group in our branch called the Private Client Group, and they have an economist from Wharton that they do like a quarterly call if you use them for your portfolio management, but we don't always necessarily use them.
Okay.
But we do partner with BlackRock a lot. They kind of, you know, do, you know, they look at our portfolios and give some recommendations. You know, we could ask them for that.
They got a ton of folks at BlackRock.
Yeah.
So, you know, have them, you know, who's your top economist that can talk to our clients in on a Zoom call? Special invitation goes out. And let your clients know that it's okay if they bring at least one guest.
What about a Curtis call?
A Curtis call?
Yeah, to our clients.
To your clients. Okay. What would I talk about?
I don't know. You're just awesome. So I figured whatever you talk about.
Well, you know, look, I would do it for you, but you got to tell me what you'd want me to talk about. But my subject is on teaming. And so if you wanted to have just business owners and talk about, you know, creating the team that the business owner needs, that would be like a subject. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. That would be a value add to business owners. Okay.
Perfect. So that's a great idea. I think we'll talk to BlackRock about it. So
yeah. Okay. All right. So, let's call it a day.
Perfect.
You know, you guys are really, you're doing well. Your questions are fantastic, and, I look forward to our next call, be thinking about what you want to implement and execute, and, you know, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Curtis. Just real quick.
Yeah.
Just a friendly reminder that next week we.
Yeah, the 29th. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no call next week.
There's no call. Okay.
Thanks, got it. Guys.
All righty. Thank you.
Thanks, Curtis. Bye. Have a great weekend.
You do the same. Bye bye.